Thank you, Diana, for that beautiful song. And I decided, after or while listening to that song, I decided that there is clearly one thing I will submit to this morning, and that is to be overcome by the presence of the Lord. How about you? I tell you, amen. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I will submit to being overcome. Overcome, overwhelmed by, overcome, and submitted to the presence, the mighty presence of the Spirit of God. Amen. Praise God. So glad to have you here with us today. I'm excited about this message that I have. And don't get me wrong, I'm excited really about every message, but some maybe a little bit more than others, just because of feeling it so strongly. And feeling blessed as I proceeded through this. And you know, when I sit down to lay a message out and find the direction I'm supposed to go, I sometimes don't have a clue. I really don't. And I wrestle around with this and that and have to wait and pray and wait and pray. And then pretty soon, there we go. The sail is raised and the wind of the Holy Spirit just catches it. And I'm moving along. This is it. This is it. This is the direction. Anyhow, it's not easy always to find the wind of the Spirit. If we can get old self sidelined, we do much better. Put self out of the way, then we do much better. But I really am so glad that you're here this morning and thankful to have this opportunity. And the title of this message is Surrender Promotes Trust. Think about that. Surrender promotes trust. I'll come back to it here in just a moment. I want to pray before I read these verses. But I have in Matthew chapter 26, verses 36 through 46, there's 10 verses there. Or should I say, if I add it correctly, I believe that 36 through 46 clearly is 10 verses. So we're going to read those, and then we'll have prayer. So follow with me in God's Word, and I want you this morning just to say, Lord, what do you want me to get from this message? What is here that I can hold on to? Because I believe that God has something special for you as you focus in on this message today. Surrender promotes trust. Matthew 26, beginning with verse 36. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and that's James and John, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Note that part, note that statement, and began to be sorrowful and very, very, very heavy. Verse 38, Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further, fell on his face, and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou will. And he cometh unto his disciples, and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What could ye not watch with me 1 hour? And watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Verse 42, He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. Now notice verse 44, I didn't realize there's an unwritten statement here, but just reference to a statement already made, verse 44, And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying, notice this, the same words. the same word. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand and doth betray me. Now, let us pray. Father, I thank you for your word that is so real to us today. I thank you that we can count, I know, on every word that is contained within these books, within the Bible, the Word of God. Every verse has significance to us because it is without doubt the inspired, God-breathed Word of God. And Lord, we thank you for what your words mean to us this morning. We only know that you have something you want to do in our hearts, and we're willing. We're surrendered to that, Lord, and we ask you with every bit of what we have that you accomplish in our hearts and our lives what you desire, because we're tuned in and we're focused on what you have for us. Lord, now guide and direct your word into every heart and life, and we give you praise for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Now, we're talking of this title, Surrender Promotes Trust. Now, I want to refer just to for a minute to the word surrender. Now, the word surrender means to give oneself up into the power of another. Give oneself up into the power of another. Now, I believe that you want to give yourself up into the power of the Lord Jesus Christ in surrender. I believe that. I believe that's what we all should want to do. And then the word trust means one in which confidence is placed. If I'm trusting in you, if I'm trusting in someone, if I'm trusting in the Lord, I'm trusting and have confidence in He who I have placed my trust in. So surrender is submit or yield. Trust is to submit and give ourselves in care and confidence unto He who is our confidence, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want to give you a quick overview of what was going on here at a place called Gethsemane. Gethsemane. Now, the word Gethsemane means an oil press, simply means an oil press, and really it was a garden that was near Jerusalem, a very significant place, and it was really located at the foot of the Mount of Olives. And so it was here that Jesus came and was very serious about what was going on with him. He was very focused on what was going on. He was very tuned in to what was coming up, what lie ahead of him. And he took it very, very seriously and knew that he must have the right frame of mind. He must have the right heart, the right commitment, the right will of surrender to accomplish what was going to happen after a short period of time. So Jesus had arrived with his disciples and told them to sit here while he went further to pray. He wanted Peter, James, and John to go with him and move a little bit further away than the others. I do know probably all there were 11 there, and Judas was shortly to arrive on the scene with his purpose of betrayal, but that was already in motion. Jesus knew it was close. He knew the hour was urgent to pray and seek his Father. He needed a surrounding of support. Now, I'll tell you that Peter, James, and John were supporters of what was about to happen. But it's really kind of disheartening when your supporters kind of slip off to sleep and they're not on the firing line. Now, if you're going to have somebody supporting you to get anything done, that's of purpose for the Lord, I believe that you want the prayer wheels turning and the support to show up. You don't want people that have pledged to support you and pray for you and who are standing with you to fall asleep on the job. God help us if we tell somebody we're going to do something, or if we act like we're going to be supportive, if we're going to be followers of He who is our Lord and our Savior. Let us not fall asleep, but let us be busy and dedicated and show up in support. But the truth is, Jesus' supporters here had slipped off to sleep, but He was wanting prayerful support, watching and praying by His three, Peter, James, and John. And so Jesus was at a very hard place in His life. Verse 37 says, "And began He to be sorrowful and very heavy." Very heavy. Jesus speaks exactly what's in His heart. Notice that, verse 38. Exactly. Verse 38, this is what was in His heart. "My soul is exceeding sorrowful even unto death." Even unto death. That was on His mind. That was in His heart that He must do it. But he was focused on it. In verse 39, He went a little further for reason to be alone and fell. Notice this, fell on His face and prayed, saying, "O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me." Now, I want to refer a little bit here, talk a little bit about the cup and the real will, what was really on Jesus' mind at this time. And I'm going to call it the real will of Jesus at this time in His life. He said, if possible, Jesus said, "Let this cup," if possible, note that, "if possible, Father, let this cup pass from me, nevertheless not as I will," not as I will, "but as Thou will." Now His disciples were tired and they had failed to watch and pray. Then notice verse 42, He went a little further and went away again, prayed a little more. And verse 42, "O my Father, if this cup may pass not away from me except I drink it," He surrendered then. He said, "Thy will be done." His disciples were asleep again, verse 44. And I'm just sort of summarizing here, verse 44. He prayed the third time, saying the same words, probably the words which were in verse 42. So Jesus was facing terrible suffering, pain. He was facing the agony of what was ahead, and He was facing the weight of the sins of the world that were about to be laid upon Him at a very difficult time in His life. Jesus said, "Let this cup pass from me." Now, the cup, as you might think, was not so much the idea of just pain and suffering and death. And yes, that was much a part of the cup, but it goes deeper than that. It goes beyond just the suffering and the death of the cross, and it goes much deeper than that. He said then the cup Jesus wanted to refuse. Now get this, the cup He wanted to refuse, if possible, "Let this cup pass from me." The cup that He wanted to refuse was the cup of punishment, of separation from God, separation from His Father because of what was about to take place. Now, I want to explain that a little bit further, and then I want to give you scripture for it. You see, sin must be dealt with, and the sins of humanity were just about to be laid in totality upon Jesus on the cross of Calvary. In order for that to happen, Father God must look away from His Son. "Father, if it be Your will, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but Your will be done." But in order for this great price to be paid, Father God must look away from his son. And I say why? Because sin, the sin that was about to be laid in totality on Jesus on the cross of Calvary, that sin would bring about separation from his Father, because God hates sin. He does not love sin, but he loves the sinner. And the sin that was about to be laid upon Jesus, at the instant that it was laid upon him, that feeling of separation, the pain of separation from his Father because of sin, was so very real to Jesus. And that is the cup that he wanted to dismiss and pass to the side of. Now, turn with me, Matthew chapter 27. Go with me here, this is just for a moment here, and see the full view of the cross of Calvary. Matthew 27, look at verse 45 and 46. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. And now verse 46. And about the ninth hour, notice this, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? In that instant, that separation, that pain of separation from his Father because of sin, Jesus felt the pain and the agony of all of the sins of humanity laid upon him, and his Father, in the instant when that happened, had to look away because the sin was so heavy and it was so tragic. It was the humanity of sin laid upon the Son, and the Father had to turn his head aside and not look on him, and that agony and that pain was felt. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? He certainly knew why he was forsaken. So the sin that was laid on Jesus caused the Father to look away from his Son. And this being the sin that separated the Son from his Father, this was the powerful cup Jesus would have rather avoided. That sin of separation, the pain of separation, I should say. And so then we know that sin separates all of us from God. Sin separates from God. It just does. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. Romans 6:23. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So sin separates. Sin brings pain. Sin separates from God, but there had to be a way to get to God, and the price for sin had to be paid, and Jesus on the cross of Calvary gave himself in separation. He who knew no sin, he who knew no sin. 2 Corinthians 5:21, please. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Now I want you to go back with me just for a moment to verse 39. "O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me." Notice this. "Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." Jesus is saying, "Father, I surrender to you, not my will, but as you will it to be. I surrender." Jesus surrendered himself in total example of surrender to his Father at that time. And he said, "I surrender to your will because I trust what you're doing with my life." Now, you have to understand, we're talking in this message that surrender proves trust, or should I say, surrender as you know it will enhance your trust and cause you to be able to trust on the level that you need to. Surrender promotes trust. Jesus surrendered, "Father, not my will, but your will be done." He was surrendering, but he said, "Not my will, but your will be done." He was saying, Father, I trust you that the path you have me on is the right path. You see, Jesus had to come to that place of surrender that promoted his trust to the level that it needed to be. And it all happened, the agony, the seeking him there, Jesus falling on his face at Gethsemane. It was where he worked all of that out in total surrender, because he was about to come to a place where he had to totally trust that this was not something he could avoid. He had to do it because the Father said, go and do it. And he was willing to do it. He surrendered to it. And his will was totally in trust, wrapped in his Father's plan. And so, the will of our Savior was surrendered to his Father, which totally promoted trust. And we have to know that. Now get this. I wanted to just underscore this to you this morning, to be able to fully trust. To be able to fully trust, you must fully surrender to God's plan for your life.
Help me, Lord.
That's it. To be able to fully trust Him. You can say, I have faith in what God's doing. You can say, I have trust in what God is doing. But I believe we sometimes are not at a full place of trust in our lives. We hold back. There's only a part of us trusting Him. And so you need to really, when that is the case, and you're not fully trusting Him like you ought to be, I want you to let the light of the Spirit of God shine on you and reveal to you your degree of surrender unto Him. Because when we're fully surrendered to His plan, then can we fully trust that He's going to take us down that pathway to glory, and He'll lead us through every possible situation that we can encounter. I want you to go to Isaiah 26:3. I love this verse. It's blessed me so much. Isaiah 26:3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. But now notice the last part. That last part is the real seal on the trust and the confidence of it. He said, because he trusteth in thee. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed upon thee, because he trusteth in thee. You see, trusting him is a sure key to be able to be kept in any of those situations. Now, Job said in Job 13:15, let's look at that verse. Job said, though he slay me, yet I trust in him. Amen. Though he slay me, yet, God, whatever you have for me, I'm surrendered to it. Though it may mean death to me and you slay me, I trust you. My degree of surrender to you has enabled me to trust you right here where I'm at. And believe me, you all read it. You know it. You know the story. Pastor talked about it last week, as a matter of fact. But we know that the degree of trust that Job needed, the things he went through, though he slay me, yet I will trust him. Could you say that? Do you have that degree of surrender? That's where Job was. Now notice what the psalmist said, Psalm 37:3. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. But trust is the key. Trust in Him, and you'll dwell where He has you, and you will be fed. And then Psalms 40:1. Look at that verse. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust. Now, I like what one man said here, and I've got to share that with you. He said, if we doubt, we don't trust. Yep. Then he said, if we trust, we don't doubt.
Yep,
God. Amen. If we trust, we don't doubt. If we surrender, we can trust like we need to. If we surrender, we can overcome doubt like we need to, because trust, you see, is what it's all about. Again, surrender promotes trust. surrender for most trust. Now, I want you to go with me. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, two very significant verses right here in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And I want you to go there with me and look at what was going on in the Apostle Paul's life. Now, verse 8, he's saying, "For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble." I'll tell you what was going on with him. He was going through a lot of trouble. How many of us, even right now, as you're sitting here in this sanctuary, would say, "Well, you know what? I'm going through a lot of trouble. I'm going through some difficulties. I'm going through some hard places." And he's saying, "For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble." We're going through some things that you're probably going to have to go through. We're going through some things that probably many are going to have to go through. But notice this, he was pressed out of measure. In that verse, he was above strength. But now notice verse 9. There's your key verse right there. Verse 9. "But we had the sentence of death in ourselves." The sentence of death, what does that mean? He said that we should not trust in ourselves. Not trust in ourselves. Who are we to trust in? Well, it's our Lord. Can we trust in Him like we need to? I'll tell you, we had the sentence of death, that's surrender. I'm surrendered to Him, therefore, I have the sentence of death in my life, and I can trust in Him. He said, we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, and clearly, that is surrender, to not trust in ourselves. But look at verse 9. We had the sentence of death in ourselves that we should not trust in ourselves, but he goes on to say, get these three words, don't forget them. Hide them in your heart. Where is your trust? But in God. These three words, but in God. That we should not trust in ourselves, but who? But in God. Trust in God. And so, self says, I can do it. But surrender says, I trust in God that He will deliver me and enable me to get where I'm going because my confidence, my trust is in Him. Oh, am I having trouble with trust? Then maybe what's wrong is my surrender is not what it ought to be. Maybe I'm holding back a part of myself from Him who wants all of us. If you're having trouble with trust, then you need to get back to where you need to be and put your all on the altar. And now verse 10, notice the last part of verse 10. He said, who delivered us from a great death and doth deliver, in whom we trust that He will yet deliver. I'll tell you, life is a lot of deliverances. He will yet deliver. We get into different situations and we need deliverance on many fronts. We need help on many fronts. We need God's will and His purpose on many fronts. But I'll tell you one thing that'll put the surety of it and settle it within your heart when you have confidence and trust Him. What'll settle it is your surrender. Your surrender unto Him. I came across this short story that was published in Moody Monthly Magazine, titled "Death to Self," and I could not do but just to share it with you this morning. My time's about gone, but I believe I have time to share it and then close out. But in a city he visited, one of his many journeys preaching the Word of God, Dr. A.C. Gabelin noticed a sign in a small dying establishment, which read, caught his attention. This is what it said. "I live to die, I die to live. The more I die, the more I live. The more I live, the more I die." Now that was right there posted at that dying establishment. Now read these words aloud and you'll hear a great scriptural truth. The more there is death to self, the more there is death to self, that much more fully is the Lord Jesus able to live His life in us. That gets self out of the way. Death to self. "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. Galatians 2:20. This kind of living is possible to every believer. He went on to say, this kind of living is possible to every believer by full appropriation of all that is his in Christ. And then he tacked on this at the very end. He said, likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 6:11. Dead unto sin, but alive through Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, in Him we live and move and have our victory. Now I want to close this message this morning with the lyrics of this song, and I say thank you, Pastor Phil, for laying it out there and singing it this morning, because I want to close with the lyrics of this song, and I want to ask a question of you. Is your all on the altar? Now, as I share these lyrics with you, I want you to think about surrender and how it promotes trust. Surrender promotes trust. Listen carefully. You have longed for sweet peace and for favor to increase. You have earnestly, fervently prayed. He went on to say, the words go on to say, but you cannot find rest nor be perfectly blessed until all on the altar is laid. That's it. That's all. That's it. Until all on the altar is laid. Then it goes on to say, is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart does the Spirit control. You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest after you have yielded your body and soul. After you have yielded, you see, that's surrender. What does surrender do? What does surrender do? It promotes trust this morning. I'll tell you, if you ever have trouble trusting, maybe you think you trust real well. Now, you get into the fire, you get into a hard place, and then you find out how much trust you really have. And so you may find out once you get into the fire of difficulty and trial that the only way you're going to really come through it is die out to yourself through surrender to Him. And then suddenly the trust that you need rises to the front in faith, and you say, hey, you know what? I can make this. I can make it. Pastor, I'm going to have you come. Think about it. Think about the need to pray. Think about the need to trust through surrender.